Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Go with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 2. There's a very obscure story in Luke chapter 2 called the birth of Christ that most people don't know about. You know, yesterday I went to a birthday party, the birthday I was talking about, and I went, and it was a beautiful day, you know, and I went to get on my motorcycle to ride it to the because it was such a beautiful day. So I went and I threw my leg over my Harley, and I wiped the sweat from my brow, and I go, nah, it's too hot. Think I'll have some AC. It's crazy, right? 85, 87 degrees when I was in my car. On December, was it 17th? And one of my favorite songs is, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. And what I mean by that is white sand, apparently, is what I'm thinking. But I want to preach to you on the subject today, I'm dreaming of a right Christmas. Because how many knows that there is a way to have a right Christmas? And in order to have a right Christmas, you go back to the very beginning to see what kind of Christmas it was in the beginning. So in the Gospel of St. Luke chapter 2, when you get there, say amen. Bible says, then Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, that the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Next Christmas, next Sunday, I'm going to preach on swaddling clothes. So she laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. Now, I don't think that Luke recorded the rest of the story that happened right there. That there was no room in the inn, and there was a period there, but every man in this building knows that there was not a period there. Every man in this building knows that there was a woman saying, why didn't you make reservations? Am I talking to anybody? Every woman in this building goes, I know he did not carry her 9 months pregnant on a donkey, talking about let's go on vacation, and then didn't reserve a room. I know he didn't do that. But it wasn't vacation, but he did do the rest. What does Christmas mean to you? The older I get, the more I contemplate this question. The older I get, because of the fact that our heritage, or not our heritage, but our tradition for my family has changed. So it used to mean that we would go and we would make our pilgrimage to Mobile, and we would do that for Christmas Eve. And as soon as we got done with Christmas Eve, we would drive to Panama City, where my wife's mother and father live, and we would be there and wake up there on Christmas. That was my tradition. And as a matter of fact, I thought, my children don't have traditions. They might want to do something different and start making some traditions. And when I brought this to their attention several years ago, they go, Dad, that is our tradition, that we go to Mobile and we get in our pajamas after we get done at Christmas Eve and we sleep on the way to Panama City and arrive there in our pajamas. That is our tradition. So let me encourage you that if you don't have some traditions, to begin to make them. Well, but Pastor, you know, they always don't work out. Well, then make another one. But have some traditions of some kind in your lives, because especially those with smaller kids, they will one day look back on that like I do now, my childhood, and remember those Christmases. And so the question begs, what does Christmas mean to you? To some people, it means hard work. Those that operate in the retail business recognize that it's going to be a lot of long hours and mean people. Look at your neighbor and tell them, make sure you're not one of those mean people. The stores are crowded with shoppers, and I don't know how you do, but I'm a people watcher. I love to go to the mall, especially because I'm almost done. I love to go and just watch people. I'll tell you another Christmas tradition that we used to have when our kids were small is that on Christmas Eve, we would all go to the mall and get our picture with Santa. It's something we used to do. The stores are crowded with shoppers. The post office is overflowing with mail. The trains and the buses are carrying record crowds. To some people, Christmas means a visit home. And the older I get, the more I certainly enjoy when my kids come home. Last Saturday, both of them were coming home, or yesterday, a week ago, both were coming home for a baking day. That's another tradition, a baking day with Mama. And so I have an app that I can find out where they're at. And so I seen that they were 3 miles apart on their way home from Lakeland and St. Pete. And so I went out into the driveway and I just waited for them because I was anticipating their arrival. And when my oldest arrived first, she arrived and I knew that she was coming down my road. And I just opened up my arms and waited for her arrival. And she walked in and she just looked, or she drove up and she just looked. She goes, Dad, how did you know that I was this close? How did you know I was coming in? I said, listen, I'm close to God and He tells me things. You got to keep mystery there, you know what I'm saying? And then so we got her stuff and I said, come on, let's go back out because Lauren's on the way. She goes, how do you know that? I go, I'm close to God and He tells me things. And her and I waited there with our arms open wide when Lauren came in. And I don't know, for the first time in a long time, I was in such an anticipation of my kids coming home. Maybe that's what Christmas means to you. Seems to be the best time of the year to be with loved ones. To others, Christmas means a sad memory. Because how many knows that not Christmas is great for everyone? Because some people struggle during this time of Christmas. Matter of fact, there are more suicides during the Christmas holidays than any other time in America. To other people, Christmas means to look back over the year and think of the loved ones who they've left since the last Christmas. To still other people, Christmas means revelry and maybe even a little partying. Maybe it's just a simple time that you get off work so that you can drink as much as possible and sin as much as possible. Finally, to millions of people, Christmas means nothing. They don't know Jesus, and December 25th is just another day to them. Christmas should mean everything, though, and I think Pastor Steve said it, it should mean everything for the real Christian. For those of us who are Christians, I mean, we celebrate Easter and thank God for Easter, but there never could have been an Easter without a Christmas. So Christmas should mean everything to us. It means that God loved us enough that He sent His only begotten Son. It means that God has regarded His lost condition and our lost condition and done something about it. It means that God has given us His best Christmas gift possible, the gift of everlasting life. So what is a right Christmas? I've got a few things I want to share with you. Point one, a right Christmas includes making room for Jesus. A right Christmas means making room for Christmas. You would be surprised at how many Christians are surprised that we're having Christmas service on Christmas. I've had people go, Pastor, are you kidding me? We're having church on Christmas? And I go, apparently you're not. And then some people go, Pastor, are you kidding me? We're not having, well, you know, when we didn't have Christmas service, are you kidding me? We're not having Christmas service? A right Christmas includes making room for Jesus because we're making room for everything else. And if you're not careful, Jesus will be on the outskirt of your holiday looking in like where he is most of the year. But let's make room for him. When Mary and Joseph came to the innkeeper said, "We have no room for you." I wonder how many times through our actions have we said to him, "We have no room for you." How many times have we been frustrated because we couldn't get the sale that we wanted, or we've got more people to buy for than we have money, and we become frustrated and we have no room for him in our hearts? See, it's because you're trying to have a wrong Christmas. That night, the innkeeper had many guests in his inn that night, but they were soon gone and forgotten. But if he would have allowed this Jesus to be born there, it would have changed the hotel for all of history. And I wonder how much are we missing out because we don't have room for Jesus. Because if you ever let Jesus come into your home and into your house and into your life and into your heart, he has the ability to change your life forever. A more important guest would never have come knocking on that inn than the guest that came that night, but he had no room for Jesus. I wonder how many times has the Lord knocked on your proverbial door and my proverbial door, wanting to get into your situation, wanting to get into your life, but we have no room for you, or we have no room or time for Jesus or religion. Perhaps you've said to Jesus with your actions that you have no room for him in your life, because we all get busy. But never get too busy for Jesus. When you set the priority list of your life, be sure that Jesus is at the top of the list. Not in the middle, not at the bottom, but on the top of your list. And listen, let me just tell you something. We all know, now don't point at nobody, but every church, every in Christendom, there are some weirdos. I'm not inviting you to be a weirdo, but I am inviting you to let Jesus not only into your life, but let him be top priority. I mean, we all know. I know some people who take that to the extreme. But no, Jesus don't want to be an afterthought. He wants to be first in your family, first in your heart, first in your life, and first in every area of your life. No room for Jesus. That's like saying that's like an engine saying that it has no room for steam. Like a tree saying they have no room for sap. Like an ocean saying they have no room for the tide. And like the heavens saying that they have no room for the stars. It's like a garden saying they have no room for the rose. Make room for Jesus in your life. During these holidays, let's reevaluate your life. Let's don't wait. Well, after the holidays, how many of you have said this already? I have. I've said this probably 14 times. After the holidays, I'm getting back on track with my eating. There's no use in it right now. They had a baking day. Need I say more? However, how many of us have said, though, I'm going to get my life, help me. I just wanted to dance a little bit. See, if I'd have told y'all, y'all wouldn't even known that I tripped over that speaker. I did, I tripped right over here. Just whoop. All right, where was that? Oh, yeah. Where was that? Right. I have no idea where I was at. Make room for Jesus. That, thank you. I remember now that after the holidays, I'm going to make my life right. That's what somebody said. My life right. But many times we say that, and can I tell you that something else is going to come up? So you might as well make today the day. You might as well make now today. You might as well make it right now and go, today is the day. You know, a couple of weeks ago, two Sundays ago, I preached and I dealt with marriage a little bit. You know, we had a couple that came together and got married the next week because of the sermon. Yeah, come on, give God praise. And then I found out also last week, another couple that was here visiting got engaged on that Sunday afternoon after the sermon. And I told them, I said, congratulations on your engagement. They said, it had to be that preaching preacher. I said, okay. Listen, today's a good day to make things right. Today's a good day to invite Jesus not only to come into your life, to have room for him to make first priority in your life. A right Christmas includes making room for Jesus. Point number two is this. A right Christmas includes worship. In Luke chapter 4, or in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. So a right Christmas involves worship. Not worshiping the gifts, but worshiping the gift giver. When Jesus was born, the heavens opened up. The angel came down to speak to a group of shepherds on a Judean hill. And the angel exhorted the shepherds to find the newborn Bethlehem baby and go and worship him. We're here this morning. We're here to worship him. We're here to glorify him. That's why we did that song, I Give You Glory. We're here to give him praise. We're here to give him honor. That first Christmas began with sincere and heartfelt worship of the Christ child. And if you are to have a right Christmas, then you must come to worship him also. Has worship attained the proper place in your life? Worship is a lost art for most Christians. They don't have time to stop and look up and into God's face and worship him. They either never go to God's house or else they just go to see old friends and renew acquaintances. Shame on us if we allow this Christmas season to become so commercialized and so carnal that we don't stop and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Your heart and soul should cry out to the Lord in praise and thanksgiving during this special season of the year. Make it a right Christmas this year by reaching out to the Lord, by worshiping the way that you ought to. Thirdly, a right Christmas includes the grace of giving. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11 says, and when they had come to him, or came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him, talking about the wise men. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And there are significant meanings to those elements, but I don't want to deal with that right now. I just want you to know that when the wise men came to Jesus, they brought gifts unto him. What are you bringing to Jesus? Well, wait a minute, Pastor, we already took an offering. I know that. Now, we're not taking another one. And I brought my gifts to him. I brought my tithe. I bring my offering. But you know what the greatest gift that he wants? He wants me. I bring him the gift of me. Man, what a sorry gift that is. But, you know, it's all that I have. And you may go, you're right, Pastor. We're a sorry excuse for a gift. But you know what? All of us still try to take care of it. But we're the greatest gift that we have, and we ought to offer it unto Christ. Christmas should still be a time of giving to others. You know, when I was a kid, and most of you know, I was raised poor. We didn't know anything about no angel tree. We didn't know nothing about that. We didn't know nothing about Salvation Army. So I remember being at my brother-in-law's family's house, and them kids were a bunch of ungrateful kids. And I remember this as a 9 or 10 year old. that they would get gifts and they were so ungrateful for what they got. And I remember the one guy got a gift, and he's passed away now, but he got a gift and he just threw it on the couch. Oh, I don't want this. And I'm standing over there going, well, if you don't want it, I'll take it. Right? And I used to hear people say, it is more blessed to give than receive. And when you're a child, that's really hard to understand. Many years ago, when at my mother and father-in-law's home, when we were married, my wife's dad had a massive heart attack, and he didn't have a lot of breath, and so I was the patriarch of the family, and so at Christmas, I gave out the gifts to everyone, and they opened them. And they would always say, well, Ronnie, you got to get one and open them yourself. But I just loved seeing their faces open up their gifts. You may go, yeah, oh, that's right, and it becomes so much better. It's so much better when they're children, right, because of their reaction. Well, my wife still acts like that. So it's pretty cool. See, that old Scrooge spirit of selfishness and stinginess has no place in the true Christian's Christmas. Let me remind you, on Christmas Eve, we're going to receive an offering for missions. Are we truly giving of ourselves this Christmas? Your giving should consist of more than just your money. Though your money is important, it should consist of truly giving of yourself, others, and others to God. You may not have really even given until you've given of yourself. You know, Maria and some of the folks that helped her, I don't know who all helped her, but a lot of folks went over to the new building this past few weeks and sorted throughout all the stuff that was left by the previous people. And there was a lot of stuff. Still a lot of stuff. They gave them of themselves. And she had a yard sale that helped El Shaddai, our food ministry, and raised almost $1,500 over the last 3 days. Come on. Maria, thank you so much. Did a great job. Still got plenty of stuff left. But did a great job. That was giving of herself. She worked 2 weeks. And more. A month. She's worked a month over there to get ready. She made $1,500. How many knows, as far as labor-wise, that probably wasn't worth it. But she gave of herself. See, well, Pastor, that wasn't at Christmas, but it was unto God. See, listen, if the only time you ever give gifts is at Christmas, then you've missed the whole Christian spirit. That's good preaching, preacher. Thank you. I appreciate that. You've not really given until you've given of yourself. Point number four is this. A right Christmas includes the matter of telling others about Jesus. The greatest gift that you can give is the gift of knowledge about Jesus Christ. Now, with saying that, what you don't want to do, let me help some of you, especially religious people. When you go to a restaurant, and you eat, that waitress does not want nor need a track. They're looking for a tip. Now, you wrap that track in a 30% tip, they'll probably read it then. But if you jip them on your tip, you think they're going to read that track? No. Well, Pastor, it's all I got. Then you ain't got enough money to go to the restaurant. And every waitress said, come on, somebody, preach. Amen. Well, Pastor, I've heard this one. I don't know why I'm on this, but I've heard this one. Well, I ain't giving waitresses more than I give God. They don't deserve more than 10%. Well, you're not giving them half 10% of your check, of your income. You're giving them 10%, 15% of the bill. And by the way, it's really 18% now. It's 18%. So unless you're really bad, I give you 20. I usually give you at least 20 unless you're really bad. Well, Pastor, no. I don't want them to go by and go, boy, that guy, he's a great guy, but boy, he's cheap. Or I don't want them to go, you know what? He calls himself a Christian, but he gypped me. Mm-mm. I'm just trying to help some of you. You want your waitress to have a Christmas spirit? Tip them right. The angel proclaimed the message of those who would listen, unto you a son is given. You know what? Here's what I know. Bernie's a waitress, I believe, ain't you? At Olive Garden? That's right. Y'all go ask for Bernie. And if y'all jip her, she's going to tell me, and I'm going to preach about you on Sunday. Talking about Jesus loves you. Well, Jesus better love me with some money. But am I making sense to you? Telling others about Jesus, well, Pastor, that's the greatest gift, and it is. But how many knows that most people don't know that who don't know Jesus? Let me ask you, those of you who know Jesus, you want somebody to go, you know, you're a waitress, and they go, Jesus loves you. I go, yeah, I already know that. But Jesus knows I got bills. Come on. Boy, I can't get no help up in here. It's all right. It's all right. I didn't come to preach for an amen. I just come to tell you. The long night of waiting was over. Jesus, the Christ child, had finally come. The angel brought the greatest and the gladdest tidings, the sweetest message the world had ever known, and that is the blood of bulls and goats will eventually pass away because the perfect lamb has just been born and he's come to make things right, to give you not only a right Christmas, but to give you a right life because his blood cleanses and makes us whole. The world has never been the same since that announcement. That glorious message on the first Christmas, time has never been the same. But men are still in darkness, darkness of sin, and they still need to hear the message of a redeeming Christ. People of this world are still looking for something that satisfies, something which will give them peace and joy. People still need to find Jesus. And how are they going to find him? Through you. Let your light so shine. The greatest joy you will ever find is the joy that comes when you tell someone in need about Jesus. So let us do these four things. Let us make room for Jesus in our hearts and in our lives. Let us bow down before him and worship him. Worship him. You know, and I'm going to say this, and I'll be done. I did pretty good. And I'll be done. I'm not one of those guys, you know, if you want to go out knocking on doors and telling people about Jesus, I'm not your guy. I mean, I have enough rejection in my life. I'm not your guy. But if the opportunity... See, some of us just miss opportunities to tell people about Christ. Be sensitive to the opportunities to tell people about Christ. And you, listen, it doesn't matter sometimes what your mouth says if your life is different than what your mouth says. Your life is the greatest testimony of what Christ can do in somebody's life. So, this Christmas, let's make room for Jesus. Let's bow down and worship him. Let's bring gifts to him. You know a great gift for Christ, of course, is you. But why don't you bring him your whole heart? I mean, I'm not being judgmental, but there are so many of us that give Christ portions of us, but not all of us. We give him the portion that's left over, or the portion that we want to, the portion that we trust him with. But he says, bring me the whole you. So let us bring our gifts to him, and let us tell others the sweet old story of Jesus and his love. Because I want you to know, man, I pray to God that you feel the love of Jesus. One of the things that I'll do when I go home to Mobile. I'll stay, and I have been staying with one of my brothers that are not saved. And why do I do that? Because he's getting closer and closer. Every time I stay with him, I don't preach to him. Yeah. Here's what he said to me the last time I was there. He said something, and I go, well, you know, I'm here ministering to you. He said, is that why you stay with me? I go, yeah. I said, I'm working on you. He said, is it working? I go, yeah, I think it is. And I don't know when, I don't know how. But I know that I'm showing him the love of God. Matter of fact, he's a pretty heavy partier. The last time I was there, he didn't go. He said, but see, he said, Ronnie, see. He said, if I had something else to do, I probably wouldn't go out and do the things I do. I said, well, let me introduce you to some people who will give you something else to do. Some of you need to understand, just hear that point right there. That's why you need Christian friends. Because you have the same mindset. Amen? If you'll do these things, you'll have a right Christmas. And then your dreams will come true. I want my family to be whole. What do you want? What do you want this Christmas? What do you want? You want more gifts? Or do you want your family to be whole? I know what I want. I want me and my family to be whole. Now, you know, I mean, I'm starting with my four, my wife and two children, but that's not where it ends. I want it to go out to there. I'll go one step further. My family is not just related to my bloodline. Many of you are my family. We tell people all the time that we feel closer to you than we do some of our family members. Because you became my family. Would you bow your heads with me? I give you my word, I won't embarrass you today, but if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, can I just, would like to not only introduce you to him, but maybe you know him, but maybe you want to ask him to come into your life. I give you my word, I won't embarrass you, but would you just slip up your hand? You can put it right back down. Anybody in this building, preacher, I really don't know Jesus as my Savior, but I want to. I see that hand. God bless you, ma'am. Hallelujah. Anybody else? The greatest gift that you can give your family is you coming to know Jesus. What a great gift. What a great gift. Would everybody pray this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, I come to you today and ask you to forgive me of my sin. During this Christmas season, I accept your gift of salvation to my life. And according to Romans 10:9, I will never be the same in Jesus' name. Go home with me and make a difference in my life. I give you my whole heart in your name. Amen. Come on, give Jesus a hand.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.